You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
The jump off starts here! The jump off starts right now! Come on now!
TalkTainmentRadio.com, your only on-demand radio. That's radio the way it should be heard. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with three voices. I'm Rita.
I'm Simeon.
And I'm Michael Stevens.
That's what I'm talking about. Radio the way it should be heard. Yeah, you heard right. My half voice is in the house tonight.
He's back.
And it's his B-I-R-T-H-D-A-Y. Happy birthday, Michael Stevens.
This sucker is turning how old today?
Nine.
This sucker is 9 years old today as of 4:33 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I wish you could see the smile on his face, and he doesn't know it, but he's bringing me extra, extra special joy right now, and I'm so excited that he's here because I needed him here tonight, and I appreciate you, Half Pint. How you doing?
Good.
Excellent, excellent. You know, today, this evening, in fact, I lost someone who is very near and dear to me, and that even seems inappropriately understated.
Right.
My youngest uncle, Mark Perryman, lost his life this evening to cancer. And I could have not done the show. The offer was made more than once. But I tell you all every week that this is therapy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, now more than ever, tonight's show is therapy to me. We happen to be talking in our journey series. We're moving back to our journey series with a friend who also has been fighting cancer for quite a long time. And this conversation was going to happen before the passing of my uncle. But right now, I seem to need it to happen tonight. I want this information. I want this conversation to happen so someone else can share in something other than the sorrow of what cancer seems to always bring. Our friend is Lauren Couch. Hi, Lauren.
Hi, Rita.
And Lauren is going to talk to us about the formation of his organization, I Can Sir. Yeah, it's a mouthful just to say it, but I'm really excited for us to have this conversation and for my half voice to be here rocking the mic with us tonight. So before we get all seriously mushy.
I'm excited about there being two extra voices to try to cover up for the fact that my throat seems like it's made out of gravel. So if you wonder why I'm speaking like Red Fox tonight,
I don't know what's up with Red.
It's because I'm not well.
My uncle was a very funny guy, so he would appreciate this, as most of you will. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Why trying to burglarize the home of a pro axe thrower is a very bad idea.
You said pro axe thrower.
Pro axe thrower. Mm-hmm. Like that thing you cut wood with? Chop that wood. That's it. That's it. Generally speaking, breaking and entering isn't something one should ever do. That said, if you're dead set on burglarizing a house, you'd be well advised to make sure that it isn't currently owned and occupied by a professional axe thrower who goes to sleep with a tomahawk by her bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Robin Irvin, a pro axe thrower who lives in Hemet, California, taught two men that lesson the hard way early Saturday morning when they sneaked in through her window while she was sleeping. She woke up when one of the men tried to take the watch off her wrist and proceeded to scream, which startled the men. She then grabbed the trusty bedside tomahawk and, wearing only a t-shirt and her underwear, chased both men out of her house. She says she could have easily paralyzed one of the men, but chose not to. Yep. She said it took everything she had not to throw her axe I hit what I aim for, she explained to NBC Los Angeles. I would have gotten him right in the spine or in the back of his head.
Oh my God.
Both men ran off while Irvin called the police. One suspect, 22-year-old Nicholas Ulloa, was found hiding in a bush. And while one man may have escaped, Irvin has a message for anyone else thinking of breaking in. If you're in my house, you ain't walking out.
Oh, man.
And go.
All right. First of all, the very first thing, well, I'll say the second thing that I thought about when I heard what you were saying, when I heard this story, it was her outfit. I got to believe that there was a song by the artist Trina from the 1990s that inspired said outfit, but that being neither said here nor there, I can't help but to think. Right. Yeah, this is all bad. The saying used to be growing up is if somebody were to break into your house, shoot them and then put a TV in their hand.
Yeah.
And then, you know, later on you found out that you're not really able to shoot people just to protect private property, at least not here in Ohio. I mean, who knows about Florida or Texas? Shouts out to Heather in Texas and Dallas. You know, now we know personal property. When you get to the point where you're trying to take a wristwatch off of someone's wrist
while they're sleeping,
that's a chemically enhanced motivation if ever there was one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like they knocked her out. She was just asleep.
There was no
chloroform. Who's in that kind of a dead sleep where you can take a watch off of my wrist? You have to touch me.
That's chemically motivated.
Yeah.
They left reason and ration a long time ago. And, you know, what now in their defense, and I'm sure you didn't think that I was going to start a sentence
in
their defense.
No.
In their defense, when you're calculating risk, you know, what are the how many professional axe throwers are there in the world?
Really?
Much less in America.
All right. In their defense. Yeah.
You see
how
what
many
I'm saying?
Professional axe throwers are
the
there?
Chances?
Just goes to show you never know.
Right.
You never know.
Right. Right. Because there are snake charmers. There are ninjas. Like, and I mean literally ninjas.
You might
in
run
the world.
Across more ninjas than professional axe throwers.
I got to believe that in the history of the world, there have been more ninjas than professional axe throwers.
I don't know. Daniel Boone, you know, and that's a backward thing, throwing axes. So we don't know where she originated from.
Right.
First of all, who knew there was a professional and axe throwing?
Right. I mean, I got to think that that's her part-time whatever, because she doesn't support herself doing that. She couldn't buy a wristwatch based on what she makes as a professional axe thrower. I'm certain of that. But again, that's
maybe
this
she's
is
a
just
lawyer.
All there.
She
wow. Could, but
she might
good one
have the wherewithal. I mean, I don't know if the funniest thing about this is that there is such a thing as a professional axe thrower, much less that they broke into her house.
They broke into her house and she restrained herself from actually releasing the axe and hitting somebody in the base of their neck.
She said spine or neck.
She was getting ready to sever your spinal cord. That just goes to show you never, ever know who you're dealing with. So please don't do foolish things. You do wrong, stuff happens.
Yeah. You have something on your mind?
She might be a half Paul Bunyan.
She might be a half Paul Bunyan.
She just might be. She just might be. If she's got a, what is it, a dog named Blue?
Right. Like, right, right. Something like, I mean, I got to think. This is just bad all the way. Now, I'll tell you what she did do unintentionally, I'm sure, was she just became an advocate for women in government, in as much as the argument has always been, do you want a woman who has her finger on the button or has access to the button? She restrained herself with
That's
the skill set
saying.
To be able to throw an axe.
See, now she practiced restraint because she knew that it would be not worth it
and
to take out
have.
Those chemically induced two men.
She could have done it. She could have done it,
and
if she chose
well
not to.
Well within her rights.
Now, is an axe the same as a nuclear weapon? Not the same, but I mean, but it goes a long way. I gotta believe. Mom would have done that. I mean, I don't know if she's listening right now, but he's putting her on blast
like
internationally. Ooh. Yeah, she has a little bit of a background and some history to her.
Right,
he's talking
right.
about my smoking hot wife, y'all.
I'm just saying, an axe to the base of your skull just might feel like napalm.
Right.
And that's just a little something
we've been kicking around.
and a word from our Talktainment family. This is Libby. Libby is all about empowering women through health, wellness, and a positive mindset. This is Libby deals with the social, cultural, politics, and economics in the healthcare and wellness industry. Come and get Libby rated with an expert in the field of health and wellness, Miss Libby Rand, broadcasts Mondays on TalktainmentRadio.com.
Libby rated. I see what you did there.
You know what? I didn't even do it. Someone else was special and put that there. I just said it extra special.
I feel
you like
that,
that
though. You gotta like Libby. If you know Libby, you'd love Libby.
Love Libby. She's an awesome big sister. Love her show. You learn lots of things.
Right.
So in this Journey series, and it's been a minute since we've been on the Journey series because we've been through health and wellness.
Right.
We've talked about a number of things. But I think it's important to always recognize those people who have a journey and where it's brought them to
right.
a special place in their life. And we've done this a number of times. It's been a while since we hit the Journey series.
Indeed.
But tonight we have joining us Mr. Lauren Couch.
Hey, Rita, I just wanted to chime in. You said something when you were introducing me earlier. You said that I've been fighting cancer.
Yes.
And I would like to add that I started out that way.
Okay.
And I have evolved into not fighting cancer.
All right.
There's greater strength in allowing. Kind of the Martin Luther King approach to the civil rights. You know, we can fight hatred with love. The things I was told years ago when I was going through an AA program,
mm-hmm.
that what you resist will persist. And that those words just have stuck in my head forever, and I kept finding times in my life when I could use it. So I just want to throw that out there that I am not fighting, I am not surviving, I am thriving.
And you are. You practicing civil disobedience with the cancer?
Of course. And don't, hey, I might have an axe for it.
All right. You know? All right. Make that axe work. Make it work. Now, tell us about your first cancer diagnosis.
First.
Yeah. I was 28 years old in the prime of my life. I took my daughter, who was 1 year old at the time, to have a checkup and decided I needed to have a physical. They found a lump in my neck and told me that I had 30 days to live in UCLA Medical Center.
Wait a minute. This wasn't even your doctor's appointment.
No. Actually, taking my daughter prompted me to have a physical, and I hadn't had one in years. So you know how men don't take care of themselves.
Slackers, you mean?
Well, yeah. You know, we don't take care of ourselves. You know,
right.
You
yeah,
know
no,
we're too
true.
Busy, you know, providing for families
or
hanging with the boys.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah. And so I decided to.
All legitimate reasons to ignore lumpy necks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't know I had a lump in my neck.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
So you couldn't feel it? You weren't having any symptoms of anything?
No. No. Wow. And you know how they do the doctors do the exam where they check
right.
you for your lymph nodes being swollen and he goes, hey, you got a problem here.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
Man, I hope you're taking note because,
right.
I mean, my gosh,
he said he wasn't having problems swallowing. He
right.
wasn't, you know, coughing.
No.
He just said, no, I'm out of
kind of like I am today, but rest assured, my annual physical is actually scheduled for Monday.
All right. Well,
then I'm not gonna fuss
to go.
At you when we leave the studio tonight or in a commercial break.
Do that. And when you reach 40 or 50 or whatever it is, when the men have to have the other exam. Yeah,
that's 40.
Go.
I'm a year away from the first
Just
thing.
go and have it.
So they told you 30 days. What's your reaction to, at 28 years old, holding your baby girl, and a doctor says, you got 30 days, man?
I mean, it was surreal. It was like being in a dream. Who could imagine how you're going to react when you hear that? Somebody tells you that your life has changed, as you know it, it's not really as it is. Yeah, so I was floored. I was afraid. And then I can't say I was brave. I was numb.
Gotcha.
I looked at my daughter, and I thought, wow. So they said, you got to have this surgery. So, okay, dying wasn't an option. I'm going to have the surgery. Then the doctors say, well, you know, there is 100% chance you'll talk through a voice box. Okay. Well, that ain't so bad. They Roger said 100.
Wow. Like, yes. You didn't get chances on anything else.
No. It was going to be voice box because of the tumor was, you know, they had... were able to determine that it wrapped around my vocal cords. They knew they were
not even the cool kind, like Roger Troutman.
Yeah, no. Let's see. I just figured he and I could hang out with the voice
right.
box.
You know? Right.
You get the one like the guy on South Park who, you know, fought in Da Nang.
Right. Or the woman in the truth.com video.
Yeah.
Is that what that is? Or the one where she smoked?
.org. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Lauren,
yeah,
what specifically like was your diagnosis? You said you had a tumor, but they said it was cancer.
Yeah, it was. It was a malignant tumor that was growing in on an artery. The type of cancer that I have is paraganglioma, which is very, very rare. They don't even have test subjects. They don't have material or biological material to even study the disease.
It would have taken me 30 days to learn how to pronounce that.
Seriously. I never remember it. That's why I always ask. And so they're writing a book on you, literally.
I have had... doctors come up to me at the Cleveland Clinic and want to shake my hand. And I'd say, sure, I guess, you know, sure, you can shake my hand. And they would just, in glee, smiling, look at me and say, you're the very first paraganglioma I've ever met.
Like it's a compliment.
Like,
and then I'm immediately put
that?
Off, you know.
Right.
Wow, what was
right.
it? Really?
Yeah.
That was it? Yeah.
Okay.
Should have been like, can you catch up if I would have spit on you?
Right.
Yeah, well.
You want to
yeah.
get it too? Thanks. So you are told that there's a 100% chance that you're going to talk with one of those super cool voice boxes.
A box, right.
And what were the other possible complications of the surgery?
And the other one, the one that I pondered probably the most was that I was given an 80% chance of having a stroke. Because my surgery was involving a major artery, your carotid and jugular.
Whoa!
Either
one of those,
right.
you
Bad
go
news.
Wrong just with a half of a millimeter, and
yeah. Well, and then you know, think this was 25 years ago, so the technology wasn't what it is today. Yeah. What was that?
What's that sign?
Are you using a voice box?
No. It's amazing. The human body learns to compensate. I don't have a left vocal cord, period. So my right vocal cord is doing everything by itself.
Wow.
Good question, Michael.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Did you have a follow-up?
This is my voice. but you have two vocal cords that vibrate together. And I have one that's paralyzed and one that's vibrating against it.
And your last name is Couch, right?
Yes, sir, it is. And happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you're not a slacker?
But depends on what we're talking about now.
Okay.
With regards to getting his annual physical, apparently
Boy.
He is not a slacker.
No, I'm not a slacker on that. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
your last name is Couch. So.
Oh, see, you got
Oh, I see what he did there.
You didn't get the
I
joke?
I missed that. Okay. I missed that.
Oh, don't right. miss the joke. I got you.
I'm 30 years a senior.
That's all right.
I'm trying to tell
that's
you, this boy
right.
is good
nice.
On the mic.
That's
hot
nice.
Mic.
That's nice.
So with this diagnosis, now they've told you you're going to talk through a voice box, period.
Yes.
You've got an 80% chance of a stroke during the procedure.
And may I shake your hand?
Yeah. And so we want to schedule this now. What was your reaction?
Well, yeah. But the stroke, the complication with the stroke was that I would be paralyzed.
Wow.
So, yeah.
On top of
yes.
everything else.
Right. And then, you know, so I thought about it and I kept looking at my daughter.
Right.
My daughter.
Looking at your daughter.
Looking at my daughter.
Who got you to the doctor's office in the first place.
You guys know her as Junior.
Ah,
those who know me,
yes.
Junior, Lauren Lachelle, Lala.
Lala.
Yeah.
Okay.
And,
so it was your daughter that got you to the doctor's office in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
your daughter
and
saved
your daughter
your life.
Sounds like inspiration for saving your life.
She did.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, your only on-demand radio. That's radio the way it should be heard. And the home of Brother K, educating to liberate on Conversate in the AM, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Stay right there. We're going to talk about Double L's inspiration coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We go where you go.
Download the new Talktainment Radio app
to your Android, iPhone, or tablet.
Now you can take us wherever you go,
and it's free. Download today.
The world's greatest radio. Radio. The way it should be heard.
Attending career fairs is a great way to find job leads. You can meet potential employers and ask questions about their company. Just try not to get distracted by all the freebies. Keep your eyes on the real prize, and you might get a few interviews.
Did you know that people born from 1945 through 1965 have the highest rates of hepatitis C, but most don't know they're infected? People can live for decades without symptoms, but over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems. If you were born during these years, the CDC now recommends that you get a blood test for hepatitis C. So talk to your doctor and find out if you have hepatitis C. It could save your life. No more.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
The health care law gives us powerful tools to fight it.
To investigate it.
Prosecute it.
And stop criminals.
Our senior Medicare patrol volunteers
are teaching seniors across the country
to stop, spot, and report fraud.
You can help.
Guard your Medicare card.
Don't give out your card number over the phone.
Call to report any suspected fraud.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
Let's make Medicare stronger for all of us.
Saving energy saves you money. Whether you switch to Energy Star light bulbs, install Energy Star appliances, or add extra insulation. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Tune in to the E. Michelle Lee Show for the People's Politics and Social Commentary every Thursday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Do you dance badly or hug in public? That's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
The jump off starts here. The jump off starts right now. Come on now.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. Your only on-demand radio. That's radio the way it should be heard. The world's greatest radio. This is Three Voices. I'm Rita.
I'm Simeon.
And I'm Michael Stevens.
Yes, and you can join us and our guest, Lauren Couch. And join this conversation by giving us a call at 1-877-932-9766. Yes, we're joined by our half voice tonight, who is getting it in. I love this
he
kid.
Really is.
Good questions, and he got jokes. Go on with it. And we're talking with Lauren about the formation of his organization, I Can Sir. But when last we spoke, Lauren was telling us about his initial diagnosis. And now Michael Stephen asked a very wonderful question. And are you using a voice box now? Lauren said, no, this is his voice. So you came through that one well.
Well, yes. Yeah, very well. I've fathered two more children, and I've had a very productive life.
All right,
that's
then.
Actually when my global travel started.
Okay.
I started a construction company, and I've had a lot of fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So through it all, you have three children?
Yes.
And
yes.
You've lived a wonderful life, traveled the world, run your business, and we said the first diagnosis,
right.
Now the second diagnosis.
Yes. Yeah.
What happened?
Oh, wow. About 5 years ago, I was down in Nashville, Tennessee, working on a project, and I fell ill. Ended up in the hospital for heart palpitations, stress-related. Mm-hmm. You know, I was construction management. So while I was off dealing with why my ticker was giving me troubles, I decided to go see an ortho-neuro doctor to find out why I was having these nagging pains in my neck and shoulder and back. And initially, they wanted to give me, you know, some Celebrex and call it good, or I could have more tests to see what was going on. Because I'm pretty in tune with my body, and I didn't think arthritis was an option for me, I opted for more tests. We found that the cancer had had returned and migrated.
Wow.
Yeah. And
migrated where, Lauren?
What started out as a soft tissue cancer, melanoma, had migrated into the tissue, into the bone.
Wow.
Not the bone marrow, into the bone mass itself.
Okay.
So it's very painful because if you imagine your bones are a hard shell case, now you got a tumor growing in them that's trying to bust out.
Oh, yeah. So, mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So
a bit of an explosion.
Yeah, it could have been.
Kind of from the inside out, trying to, like, alien.
Yeah, exactly.
Like alien.
Yeah, like alien. And but think about, what is cancer? It's an alien.
It's an alien. come on now.
So now that one shook me because I was at the peak of a new career that I was starting. I fell into it.
Yeah.
I fell into it.
And what do you mean by that?
The C word.
Okay.
You know how we used to hear it when we were kids growing up?
Yeah.
You know, the old folks call it. And everyone whispered about it. It changed my life. I lost over 2/3 of my income just from a diagnosis.
Wow.
You know, I was deemed unfit to return to work.
Whoa.
Yes. Uh-huh. And then I was seeing a whole host of doctors who were, you know, running all these tests on me, and all of them really painful. They were taking bone biopsies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there you go. They got the initial biopsy test back, and they misread it, and they thought it was a melanoma. Obviously, this thing smears like a melanoma. My particular type of cancer looks the same as melanoma under the scope, with the exception of one very particular trait.
What's that?
So this little doctor comes in who was standing in for my regular doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the test came back from Mayo Lab, and, you know, you got melanoma, and we give you 3 months.
Melanoma?
Oh, yeah, right. I'm obviously of African-American
right.
descent.
Right.
So, and that's immediately what happened. The nurses and the nurses and my spouse started looking at me, everything, every part of me, to find a little brown spot.
Where's the brown spot?
Right. Yeah, I'm like, right. I don't subscribe to the New England Journal of Medicine. Yeah. However,
I'm pretty melanoma. Sure that I recall melanoma being a skin cancer. But
right.
then you exactly. said they took a biopsy of your bone?
Of my bone.
Okay.
And it went to the Mayo Lab in what is that? Minnesota.
Minnesota? Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Right. And they misdiagnosed it.
Wow.
I mean, but that's like Eminem getting diagnosed with sickle cell anemia. I mean, that, like,
seriously,
you know
though,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, pay attention to the actual patient,
right.
not just what's written on the chart. Right. It might be something different.
Exactly.
They do say medicine is a practice, not a science.
Right.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they've misdiagnosed you. How long until they made the connection between the mm-hmm. cancer that you had before, that this may have been a recurrence?
Took some time. They had to do some research because the hospital in California that had my pathology reports
mm-hmm.
Has gone out of business. They've closed up. So UCLA couldn't find their records. But it did take the Mayo Lab to contact UCLA and find the pathology reports from the original biopsy, and they saw that it was the same. But we were dealing with a radical tumor cancer that was growing. The tumors in my body were growing, and they were multiplying. So we went into chemo. Yeah.
Because that's what you do when you have cancer.
Because that's what they do, yeah. Chemo. We give you chemo.
Did you know that chemotherapy is the only legally sanctioned treatment for cancer in the United States?
I'm aware of that.
Most people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Most people do not know that any other form of treatment is not legally able to be prescribed by your doctor or practice.
And see, I did,
in America.
I got to wonder, kind of like messing with a warranty when you get somebody else, like not from a manufacturer or whatnot, to start working on or servicing whatever. I got to wonder, does if you do seek something else, does that compromise your insurance coverage and things like that?
Well, here we go.
All right.
Herein is the catch. Because on your journey, you deal with the doctors.
I
actually had to, and you know me. You know my personality very well.
The business of cancer.
The business Serious. Of cancer. Thank you. And because there is there's no money in a cure.
Chris Rock said
Say that,
that
again. Yeah. There's no money in a cure. Mm-hmm. Go ahead now.
Yeah, so there's a doctor, Dr. Gershon, his Gershon theory. And this doctor, around the World War II, he was taking in patients and treating them with food.
Like the stuff we all eat every day?
Wow.
With food, yeah.
How did that help?
Actually, the people that they were sending to him, they being the American Medical Association, they were sending to him were people that they deemed hopeless. They couldn't do anything with.
Wow.
And this guy put them on a plant-based diet.
And what were the results?
And the results were these people were living and not only living, but their bodies restored themselves.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's a couple of things I'm thinking about.
Wow.
First of all, that reminds me of the gentleman who it was a guy who was diagnosed with some sort of illness, and he went and exiled himself to go die peacefully on an island. He went to an island. I wish I remembered his name, but I don't. And he found what he knew to be a poisonous plant, and he decided to eat this poisonous plant, but he was going to cook it. Don't ask me why. He was already suicidal. but he decided to cook
Green
and eat this poisonous plant,
right.
And he ate it, and he didn't die, and he went on and on. Go on, son. What's up?
The reason why he didn't die was because when he boiled it, the poison came off.
Well, pretty much. He ate it and was wondering why he wasn't dying and why he was actually getting full.
It's
that poison
like
plant.
Germs.
Yeah, he boiled it. Essentially,
Come
long story
now.
Short, it became. That's how we discovered how to make tapioca pudding. He accidentally created tapioca pudding, trying to kill himself.
Trying to kill himself.
That's one thing I think of. Secondly,
itching while he was peeing.